1, 2, 3. All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show, and I've got to do some explaining. So, you know how I said that this was the final episode with DP, like, ever? We mean it for real, seriously? That didn't happen. Remember, you were going to be doing the Grim Rant Show?
Yeah.
We were going to do the Grim Rant Show, and you were going to do, like, commentary for video.
Which we can still do.
Well, we can kind of. I don't know. It depends. We're going to have to really kind of figure out what people want.
I mean, people should comment.
Yeah, they should let us know. But anyway, so yeah, I said it was like the final article show with DP, like, we mean it this time. I mean, because I've said that like a time and time again. It was almost like beating a dead horse. And I was like, okay, so basically what happened is, you know, when you got back to work, they changed up your schedule, so now you're on like a swing shift.
Which I knew I was, but they didn't know when.
Yeah, but you were previously overnight for a while. So that's why that...
Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah, that's why that worked. And plus, because of the, you know, the situation with your kidneys and all that, it's probably better for your health to actually not be up at that, at those odd hours. No. I mean,
I'm still kind of up sometimes.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying, but you're not up from...
Not up and working myself crazy.
Yeah. At night, which is not really good for the body. So... Yeah.
I could be more of an enforcer on my shift than the shift nobody shows up for.
Right. So anyway, it just turned out that for the foreseeable future, DP is going to continue to be on the article show. Now, we might try to sandwich some things in, like we might try to do, like we were really going to try to bring back Grimm's Red Theater and Red TV. Now, one reason we're probably not going to bring back Red Theater is because a lot of the Grindhouse movies and stuff we're doing, well, you know, again, there's Grindhouse Agogo, and he constantly puts that stuff up without the commentary. So, I mean, there's really no sense in watching it with the commentary if you can just get it, you know, free without it and all that kind of stuff. Plus, I don't want to step too much on him. However, we can still do, like, Married with Children and Mario and stuff like that. Like, it's the stuff we were doing. And Captain N and a lot of, you know, things like that. If people like that. Some people did like the commentary, I guess. Maybe some people were just watching because it was the only way they could watch it. Or they didn't know how to get to Internet Archive. Or, you know, some other reason. I have no idea. But people did watch it. And
I think Popcorn Flicks had it. If you don't mind the commercials.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, there's places where you can get this stuff. It's just...
Amazon.
Well, no. I'm talking about Internet Archive has it. And that's just free downloads. Yeah, you can watch it for free just on Internet Archive. Hell, I've been getting all my tokusatsu from there. They actually have all the seasons of Gundam right now. One person in particular uploaded all the seasons of Gundam. And some other anime to Internet Archive. And I found them by accident. So I've been downloading a lot of their stuff. You got to get it while it goes because, of course, eventually somebody's going to try to pull a copyright strike. You might lose it. So it's there. But yeah, guys, we were going to try to do all that, and I'm not really sure how that's going to take. We can try to continue where we left off on Season 2 of Married with Children and some of the other things, but that just depends on you guys. If you guys want it, let us know. If not... We can just continue doing AVNs, because I personally like the AVN coverage a little more. I think it's fun. I'm, you know, like, some of that old stuff can be fun. Like, if we go back in the 80s and do some of that stuff, like, that can be fun, but I like the AVN as well. Also, we have an update from Philly at City of Broken Dreamers. Apparently, he's on the home stretch, which means the game is almost done. He says, you know, he's been working with these characters for so long that he kind of feels sad. Because it's like, this is the last time I'm going to be able to see these characters again. It's like, these are the last time I'm going to, you know, like, they become like family. They become family after you've been working on them for so long. You know, if it's a game. You get into these characters and then all of a sudden it's over and there's no more. And he's like, he's basically saying, do I make it short and sweet? Do I draw it out? Or do I try to find the best of both worlds? And he said, obviously, what I'm trying to do is the last option, which is the best of both worlds. So he wants to make sure that he explains enough about these characters to not make it overbearing, you know, because eventually the game has to end. But it's going to be a lot of animations, it's going to be a lot of, you know, stuff going on, and he says about 2 more weeks of writing, and it's wrapping up. And he's kind of scared, because he said it's scary. Because, you know, the game is finished, so he's really not sure where you go from there. You know, he's been working on this game for a long time now. City of Broken Dreamers has been in development for a number of years. So, it's finally done. He's like, okay, what's next? It's like, you know, I've talked to him, and he's like, he's got some ideas, but you really don't know if you can hit the iron like he did with City of Broken Dreamers. That's a hard bar. Especially as far as I've played in it, you know, I'm at that last chapter. So anyway, that's pretty much all we have to talk about as far as updates. Don't have any sponsors or anything right now. You know, the spinning robot pussy, thing is over. It's way past time. So, you know, if anybody else wants to sponsor me, feel free. Just let me know, drop me an email, get in touch, check me out on Discord, whatever you do, just let me know. But we got some more important shit to talk about, and it's Gamergate. We've got to talk about Gamergate 2.0, we've got to talk about the sweet baby controversy, we've got to talk about everything. So we're not going to go too far into the stuff you already know. But to keep DP up to speed, basically Sweet Baby was figured out because they worked on the Kill the Justice League game, right? And people were really upset about Batman being shot and killed as the end of the game. Like, that's the finale of the game. So, basically,
killing your main character.
Well,
I mean, which it is. It's your main...
Yeah, and
nobody
it also
shows up to watch Robin except Titans. Titans is a good series.
Well, also, it's supposed to be connected to the Arkhamverse, which is people really pissed because that's
because
Arkham
it's
Batman.
Canon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and the people that were basically in charge of this were laughing because they thought it was
funny
to kill a billionaire. To kill a billionaire. They thought, oh, we're killing a billionaire. That's a good thing. Yeah. Remember, they're communists.
An imaginary
billionaire. So anyway, people got pissed. And basically they made a Steam curator called Sweet Baby Ink Detected. Now, very briefly, I will read the number of games, and they're not that many. There's not that much you have to worry about. Okay, Sweet Baby Ink Detected. Here we go, guys. So, here's all the games that are... Oh, wow. Oh, no. That Tales of Kinzera game is on there. Fuck. That's a Metroidvania that looked cool, but apparently now I'm not going to get it. All right. So, here's all the games that Sweet Baby has been involved with. Tales of Kinzera Zal, Neo Cab, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, After Love, Gotham Knights, South of Midnight, Kingdom 80s, Shadow Gambit, The Cursed Crew. Oh, wow. Dark Alliance, Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance. Hyper Light Breaker. Well, I guess I'm not getting that. Breeze in the Clouds. Goodbye Volcano High. Usual Jude. That looked cool, but now I'm not going to touch it with a fucking 20-foot pole. Battle Shapers. Sable. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. There are 16 games so far that they are have
now,
worked on.
If it gets dirt cheap, I may get Suicide Squad just to play it through. But, I mean, I don't like the idea of them killing off.
As of right now, 29 excuse me, 291,732 people follow Sweet Baby Ink Detected. Now, there's a little more going on with this Sweet Baby Ink Detected. So, journalists got kind of upset, or basically these news rags were telling these journalists to defend Sweet Baby Ink. And journalists from Wired, journalists from Game, The Gamer was one, PC Gamer, a bunch of different outlets with big-time journalists that people have looked and found that their profiles have, you know, pronouns on them and all that kind of thing. So they basically came to aid of Sweet Baby. And what we found is Sweet Baby's just the tip of the iceberg. As a matter of fact, there's several of these little groups that are basically created to diversify and put progressive woke shit into games. That's literally what they are. They're basically a group that comes in and says, hey, your game's not woke enough. We need to make it woke. And that's literally what these developers...
We need to kill your revenue.
These developers, they're in bed with so many companies. Big companies. We already, you guys already know what companies. All these AAA developers are in bed with Sweet Baby. People were saying Valve was in bed with Sweet Baby until Valve basically said, no, we're not going to get rid of the Sweet Baby Ink Detected curator. Then they were calling the people racists that were in favor of the Sweet Baby Ink Detector. And then they were telling their own employees from Sweet Baby to harass people. Harass these people. Get them fired. And then you had people from the games industry saying, okay, if anybody is going to talk about woke stuff or whatever in gaming, then I'm going to blacklist them, especially if you're a developer. So if you're a games developer and you're basically talking about, I don't want this woke nonsense, then they're just going to blacklist you so you'll never work in a big part of the industry. So, yeah, it's getting really shitty. Oh, and here's the big fucking drop that I have for you guys. It's not my drop, but some painter girl, yes, some painter girl, she basically found out information that is at a government fucking level. Her name is Madame Savvy. She is an artist. And I'm going to read her tweets, because they're very important. Today, I will unpack some of the members of the Extremism and Gaming Research Network, the collection of members who were recently awarded over $300,000 Canadian by the CAD by the Canadian government. In my previous thread, I highlighted and talked about Dr. Rachel Cowart's connection to them, but what of some of their other notable members? Each post after this, we'll provide highlights of their work, as well as links to the publicly available information. Overwhelmingly, there are many far-right extremist experts, with several studying international far-right extremism. These are the people that Dr. Rachel Cowart works with and has access to, and she was the one who wrote the blog post for Take This Org, linking the Kotaku article defending Sweet Baby Ink and calling on everyone to denounce Gamergate and toxicity and hate in gaming. So, Dr. Cowart is involved in two government-grant-funded projects so far that I know of. One is awarding $669,000 USD from the Department of Homeland Security for a two-year study. That same Department of Homeland Security that Fresh or Fit is from. Remember that one? The one was telling me, I'm going to tell you how to be a man, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that same Department of Homeland Security that he worked for also gave her $669,000. Choose your grifters wisely, folks. And the second being $317,000 Canadian from the Minister of Public Safety, Dominic LeBlanc, both targeting extremism and radicalization in gaming and online communities. Make sure we're recording. Many of these people also took up their positions in 2021 while also holding other positions. So, hold on, let's go look at the whole fucking thing right now. Because apparently it didn't bring me into my thing. But that's okay, because I will figure this out. Savvy. Sorry, I have to do this real fast. Yeah, it's okay. Savvy artist. All right, here we go. Aaron Saltman. Okay, current job. Director of Programming at the Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism, GIFCT. She was formerly Facebook's head of counterterrorism and dangerous organizations policy for Europe, the Middle East, and Africa, working with multi-sector stakeholders and building out CVE programs for Facebook in partnership with international NGO SMER. I don't know what that means. Nusrat Farouk. Current job, tech and programs associate at the Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism. She's also worked as a consultant to the World Bank, New America Foundation, and UNICEF India. Ashley Mathias. Her work brings together cultural studies, media studies, and visual rhetorical criticism through the lens of feminist theory to explore the material effects of cultural production and consumption online. Alex Newhouse, former reporter for GameSpot, studied far-right extremism. He's not very important. There are many more to go through, but I think this is a good summary for tonight. As you can see, there is a wide range of individuals with both lengthy careers and some finishing their PhD studies. Please do not go and harass these people. I'm merely compiling public information on those working on such incredible topic, and I believe we should get to know these tax-funded individuals and their robust influence on policymaking and video games. I'm currently still reading articles produced by these people to better understand their line of work. Okay, so she's got a little more. Let's see. So basically, this whole started because there is a DEI professor who has quietly raised $1 million in grants over the past week, capitalizing on the Sweet Baby Inc. controversy. Homeland Security and the Canadian Gov all announced programs to investigate gamers this past week, and it all ties back to this one now very flush academic. In my next tweet in this thread, I'm going to link the incredible research that Madam Savvy has done to unravel the doctor's elaborate funding scheme. The gamers have found you, and your efforts to falsely attack gamers is now exposed. Dr. Rachel Cowart. So, it says here, DHS-funded Take This officially calls it Gamergate 2 and also calls it a harassment campaign. Folks, it's happening again. And then here's another one. DHS is literally going after DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is going after lore developers to make sure the lore they put in video games doesn't make gamers become anti-woke radicals. This is real. Yes, all the grantees in this program focus on right-wing extremism, which they define as basically meaning agreeing with libs of TikTok.
Sounds like the person who wrote the article is a little lib.
Well, no, they're... Okay, so...
Well, when you refer to something as right-wing extremism...
Well, no, that's what they're... Well, they're all in quotes.
Oh, okay.
They're all quoting these. Alright, Government of Canada announces funding to study potential for radicalization to violence across gaming platforms. Through gender-based analysis, this study will examine how identities are formed for both individuals and groups of gamers and understand how misogyny can connect violent extremist ideologies across geography and culture on gaming and gaming-adjacent platforms. They're studying misogyny on gaming and gaming... This is something that they're giving $317,000 Canadian to study. And we have Extremism and Gaming Research Network. Claudia Wallner, Rachel Cowart, and Linda Schlegel. Claudia Wallner is a RUSI Associate Fellow and was formerly a research fellow in RUSI's Terrorism and Conflict Research Group. Her research focuses on preventing and countering violent extremism. Dr. Rachel Cowart is a research psychologist and the research director of Take This. She is a world-renowned researcher on the uses and effects of digital games, including their impact on physical, social, and psychological well-being. Linda Schlegel is a PhD student at the Goethe University Frankfurt and a research fellow at Modus ZAD in Berlin. Her research focused on the nexus between gaming and extremism, gamification, the use of gaming content in P/CVE projects, etc. It also says there is no other initiative dedicated to convening cross-sector actors to prevent violent extremism and foster resilience among gamer communities. Our focus, scope, and breadth of convening power is our unique strength. We are dedicated to keeping gaming fun while pushing back against extremism and online harms. Similar initiatives such as the Global Internet Forum to Counter Terrorism and Tech Against Terrorism participate in the EGRN, allowing us to achieve substantial network effects as well as leverage existing tools and expertise through collaborative means. We also act as a bridge from gamer communities and small CSOs developing their own games, all the way to the donor governments and international policymakers at the United Nations through the mandated UN Office of Counterterrorism, UNOCI, and other mandated UN agencies during UNDP and UNITAR. Wow, that's a lot of fucking agencies. As a collaborative at-will network, benefits of becoming a member of the EGRN include but are not limited to direct access and exposure to cutting-edge research and innovative projects from researchers and practitioners working around the world, receiving expert input and access to top-tier consultants for planned projects or inventions. And now we have all these companies. The University of Sussex, the Global Internet Forum for Counterterrorism, Nordic Safe Cities, Strong Cities, UNITAR, UNDP, MODIS, Global Network on Extremism Technology, MNC Saatchi World Services, ICCT, the International Center for Counterterrorism, Amdu Antonio Stiftung, RUSI, ZAD, Justice for Prosperity, Counterterrorism Something or Other, Moonshot, Institute for Strategic Dialogue, Tech Against Terrorism, Love Frankie, RUSI Europe, and something I can't even read. But all these fucking groups. Wow. This is incredible. So let's see here what else we've got. There's also a Brazilian study on gamers and politics. Link an interesting quote showing their focus. Gaming communities have become a fertile ground for hate speech. This not only damages the online experience and mental health of players who are people of color or have diverse sexual and gender identities, but also helps shape the worldview of many. Thus, it contributes to the advancement of racist, misogynist, and LGBT-phobic norms and behaviors offline. That's from Brazil. Mm. Brazil, of all people.
Well, I've heard a few years back that they were becoming more woke.
Oh, yeah.
And more, cancel culture and Me Too movement and all that.
Middlebury College, 1 year ago. This study is part of an ongoing project, Disrupting Video Games-Based Radicalization Through Collaborative Cross-Sector Networks, funded by the Department of Homeland Security. Examining dark participation in gaming spaces, specifically examining what kinds of dark participation digital game players are regularly experiencing, witnessing, and actively participating in. This research is part of the project conducted by Dr. Rachel Cowart, Research Director, Take This, and Alex Newhouse. The aim of this research is to better understand the prevalence of dark participation and its impact to gaming spaces. Your responses are entirely voluntary, and you may withdraw your participation at any time by closing your browser window. Survey is designed to be anonymous, meaning there will be no way to connect your responses with your identity. Toward that end, please do not sign your name to the survey or include any information in your responses that would make it possible to identify you. Very, very, very interesting shit. I was quite confused on why I couldn't find Take This Org on DHS's public records, and that was because they didn't file under their business name. That's because Dr. Cowart, who wrote the article for Take This and is now private on Twitter, is the connection. She partnered with Middlebury College and Logically AI to research extremist radicalism and recruitment. What is Logically AI? They extract insights from across platforms and domains to identify potentially harmful content that can impact election processes, people, and polling locations. They,
as long as it doesn't hurt their election practices.
What I thought was an error on my part was only cleared up when I found this old form from Middlebury that is no longer active. I thought they'd been approved by DHS themselves and was only looking under their business name. I did not think they'd have a college submit the funding request based on how they publicly list it under themselves on their website. When you read their outline, it is clear what their mission is, and they requested a whopping $669,000 in funding. They claim to be creating a framework to monitor extremist behavior and recruitment in video game communities and claim developers are unaware of these practices. They claim this is in line with DHS's anti-terrorism grant program and plan to use cutting-edge research to get to the bottom of this, so Google Forms and Twitter. They use example of a shooter in New York and state he was part of a right-wing Discords and also referred to the shooter from New Zealand who shouted subscribe to PewDiePie, remember that one? And instead of blaming mental health, jump into attributing gaming and Discord as the problem. Oh, so...
So what about all these transgenders that are going on shooting rampages?
Yeah.
Crowder's uncovered several at one school at... The superintendent didn't even let the parents know that they had suspended, which once you suspend someone, they got all that time to sit at the house with guns.
Right.
Come back and kill whoever.
Yep.
The girl in, or well, misgender, a girl wanting to be a boy.
Right.
That did the rampage in Nashville.
Yeah.
Shot a few 6 and 5 year olds.
Yep.
And I think a teacher for cops actually responded, unlike the one next to the border where they just stood outside while he gunned down all those kids.
Yeah. Let's see. This is a 2-year research grant and year one has been completed. We're now on year two. Why does that matter? Well, year one was about collecting information, which they state they did through leveraging scaled analytical techniques like surveys and social media intelligence analysis. They also began educational workshops with devs, both single and multiplayer based. Year two, they state to establish private and public networks to share information, discuss best practices, and open lines of communication regarding extremist trends in games. They also plan to release 3 toolboxes to help detect extremism in games. Given the... God damn, dude, you know what they mean by extremism in games, right? Everything we fucking like masculine
everything
characters.
That makes a game a game.
Yeah, yeah, like cool fucking heroes, like Postal. You know, there's so many games that we play. Yeah.
Stop jumping on those mushrooms and faces.
Yeah.
They have rats too.
Yeah. Given the language Dr. Cowart used in her article from Take This, I dare say this is all tied together. Wow. And their budget breakdown. Holy moly. It says. They wanted to host workshops and have travel covered. They also want food and beverages covered. Really?
Go fuck yourself.
Dr. Cowart also needed to travel, and logically AI also had some costs to cover by assigning 4 employees to the project. So, travel, $10,000. Fringe benefits, $44,000. Personnel, $122,000. Hey guys, this is your tax money. Yeah. I just want to let you guys know, this is $699,763 of your tax money going to basically people that don't want you to play games that you fucking like. They want you to play games that have their crap in it, right?
Yeah.
That's what all this is.
Yeah, I think...
They're using my fucking money.
Yeah, I think they should just boot them.
It says... Contracts, $440,000. Travel, $10,000. CTE staff work remotely from multiple locations.
Or
not
you
all
have to
are
travel
in.
Travel to be a cunt.
Yep.
I mean, you can do that from the house.
Yep. Workshop materials. Let's see. I'm looking for how much they spent on food. I'm curious.
They just don't want to pay for anything.
No, they don't want to pay for nothing. Logically, AI started in Britain and moved to India to be their primary fact-checker, according to Wiki, and then spread to USA. 2019, they received an MIT grant and had 2 rounds of seed funding following that. Their whole thing seems to be misinformation, and they scraped social media websites. Oh, joy. So that's where my tax dollars are going to. It makes you sick.
It does make you sick.
It makes you sick. Okay, so, what is the right doing? Well, I'll explain what the right's doing. The right is starting more shit, and unfortunately, this comes at a name we have said many times on this show, Matt Walsh. So what did Matt Walsh say? What kind of boomer bullshit did he say this time? Well, just wait. I mean,
I will say, in some cases, Matt Walsh does make
good points.
And then, just based on his own preferences, sometimes he will make the dumbest shit statements you ever heard of.
Oh, yeah. Now, we're going to go right in to his statement right here. This is from Daily Wire. Walsh, stop pretending violent video games are harmless just because you like playing them. Now, this stuff is 2018, but he's been hammering on it lately because of the situation that's been going on. So, we're going to go way back. Some of you might like to hear the first two words that are going to come out of my mouth. President Trump held a meeting on Thursday to discuss violence in video games. It's been said that he blames mass shooting on video games, but that's not actually his position. That's not anyone's position. Nobody thinks that a child who plays a violent game will automatically go out and kill real people. Nobody thinks that video games are the only factor contributing to the problem. The pro-video game people prefer to rail against an argument nobody is making because they cannot respond to the extremely logical and irrefutable argument people are making. Here's what he said. We have to look at the internet because a lot of bad things are happening to young kids and young minds, and their minds are being formed, and also video games. I'm hearing more and more people say the level of violence on video games is really shaping young people's thoughts. Shaping young people's thoughts, forming their minds, yes, of course it has that effect. Of course a child is influenced by the images and ideas and sounds and messages that bombard his brain. Of course it isn't healthy for a child or anyone else to spend hours a day playing any sort of video game, least of all violent games. You can cite studies proving that violent video games can't contribute to violence in kids. I can cite the studies proving they do. And we go round and round throwing studies at each other until it finally dawns on us that maybe some things can't really be proven or disproven with a study. Maybe some things are too far complex and buried far too deeply in the human mind to be quantified and categorized by a guy in a lab coat with a clipboard. Some mass shooters weren't video game fans, some were. The Sandy Hook school shooter was obsessed with video games. He made 83,000 online kills before he went out and killed 20 children. Are you going to tell me that your positive is hours upon hours of video stewing in virtual violence had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with his murder spree? And how are you going to prove that? With a study? A survey of some other parents and kids will tell me what was going on in the dark recesses of the Sandy Hook school shooter's mind? Perhaps we should just try to apply some common sense to the issue. Here's what common sense tells me. A moderate video game habit not involving graphic and violent games will not harm a child. As of 2014, the number is surely higher now. The average American over the age of 13 played video games for an hour a day. An hour a day for a child is probably already too much, no matter what type of game. If that were his only screen time, it might be fine, but it's not. He's also on his computer, on his phone, watching TV. Almost half of all parents report that the TV is always on in their house. That's not good. Kids need to read books, they need to play outside, they need to have conversation with their parents. I think he's still living in the 50s now, a little bit.
Well,
I agree with this.
I agree. I would say, a lot of that with shooting is what their social life is like.
Mm-hmm.
Two would be what their home life is like. Probably not in that order. Home life probably comes first.
Right.
The amount of families without a father or, you know, with a one parent household is ridiculously high right now. But also I'd say the third thing is, having something that you're proud of, accomplishment.
Right.
Mine would be art. I'm good at my other job, security. Good at enforcing rules and,
sure.
Tough love. And,
gotta give it to them.
Oh, yeah. But there are plenty of things, but most of those people don't think they're good at anything. And a lot of it becomes deep-seated hate, like, well, if nobody loves me, I'm gonna kill everybody. And the past couple of shooters I've heard about, they were obsessed with trench coat mafia.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
All right.
They wrote them in their manifestos about how they're going to be just like them.
Yeah, from that one movie. And I do have that movie. I haven't watched it.
What are you talking about?
There's a movie about that.
Oh, yeah? Is it, what's his name? It's Fat.
No. It's it wasn't a it's a Grindhouse movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got it. Because I haven't seen it, but it's interesting.
Have to remember to watch that.
Okay, so all right. He basically said they need to develop interests and hobbies and skills that don't involve staring into glowing boxes. If the average time spent on video games is about an hour a day, I still say he's kind of boomer in some of these ways because people are. I get what he's saying.
He does make valid points.
He makes valid points.
Because he doesn't like video games.
Or anime.
Or anime. And I thought that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean,
he couldn't even figure out a reason why it was satanic. Now, let's be absolutely honest.
What about Hansel and Gretel? That is a witch, and witchcraft is satanic.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference between, you know, Satanism and anime.
Right. Now, right. I mean, there could be some dark shit in anime, but
Japan's not predominantly Christian.
No, they're not. They're Shinto.
Shintos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, he's saying, okay, I personally know some kids who play video games for 2 or 3 hours a day, maybe more. No matter if the games are violent, that's not healthy. I don't care what your study says. A human being with a brain, I am able to determine that a child should not spend every moment of his free time escaping to virtual reality. He should be a human being doing human things. All this time in video game land isolates him. And, of course, if I wanted to win the study for study competition, I'd point to the multiple studies showing the link between depression and video game usage. What? But I won't point to them because common sense should already confirm the link. A person needs sunlight, human interaction, human experience, fresh air. It is depressing to live a life deprived of those things. Can we find some sort of link between the isolation caused by a video game obsession and depression caused by isolation and violence? Probably. That would seem to make sense. At least we can say this about a boy who becomes violent after years of isolation and virtual reality. It sure didn't help, or do I need a scientist to tell me that? Well, what about violent video games? Well, there's no reason to focus this part of the conversation only on kids. It's not good or healthy for anyone to play graphic, disturbing, gory video games. Certainly, it won't make you a better person, and it's very hard to imagine that the effect is neutral. Nothing is really neutral for human beings. Everything we do either makes us better or worse. Hours a day pretending to kill people in virtual reality must logically fall into worse category. That's where some video game apologists evolve into incoherence. Video games are a sacred cow because people are desperate to justify the last 8,000 hours of their lives that they wasted on them. So they'll often pretend there's nothing talks about violent games at all. They'll say something like, it's just pretend, and just shooting at pixels is not turning me into a serial killer. We all know it's pretend. We all know the images are digital. We know you're not a serial killer. But the fact remains that you still enjoy pretending to kill people. Your favorite recreational activity is pretend that you are killing people. You probably never kill a single person in real life, but it's still not good, it's still unhealthy, it's still pretty disturbing that you find so much joy in simulated death and destruction. I say the same thing about people who love bleak, graphic, torture porn movies. A healthy, well-adjusted, morally aware person would find no enjoyment whatsoever in these films. Not because he thinks they're real, but simply because he has no interest in entering a fantasy world filled with blood and death. When I was a teenager, I went regrettably to see the movie Hostel. For anyone who hasn't seen it, I'll spare you most of the details, but suffice it to say, the whole point of the movie is to watch young people get tortured and brutalized and hacked to pieces. I hated the movie and wish I'd never seen it. My friend loved it. He should not have loved it. There's nothing to love.
He has not. He's imposing his.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's a fantasy. Be careful who you trust.
Right. Right.
And I will say the sunlight, that was a valid point.
Yeah, that's
because there is a link between vitamin D
and
they say the U.S. is one of the lowest vitamin D.
I take it every day.
People. Well, but there's also sometimes there's. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look at the research in the delivery method because.
Oh no, my vitamin D has gone up since I've been taking it.
Oh yeah. Well yeah, but how would it be different if you were out in the sun more?
I don't know.
Well, there are some things that, especially with vitamins and minerals, at the delivery methods all is the main thing for your overall success.
Right. Well, I mean, but again, it's...
I mean, if you feel good, I think good, it's the same.
Yeah, I feel good.
That's always a good alternative.
Yeah, I feel good. So, yeah. That's one of the major effects that violent video games and movies certainly do have on a person. They feel that they feed the twisted part of his brain that delights in ugliness. We all have that in us to some extent in one form or another. But we should not indulge the instinct. We should not embrace it and fuel it. We bring ourselves into dark places when we do. Even if the dark place does not involve shooting up a school, it is still a dark place and it is better to be in the light. The other effect is desensitization. A person should be horrified by brutality and violence. We should be sickened by it. We should not take pleasure in it, neither should we be neutral toward it.
What about John Wick?
It's clear. Yeah, it's clear that a lot of kids today... Let me just finish this. He's almost done. It's clear that a lot of kids today, a lot of people generally, have a certain numbness, certain emptiness inside of them. They do not recoil at evil. They do not feel disgust at disgusting things. This is at least partly because they spend so much of their time in a disgusting virtual world, pretending to do disgusting things for fun. The internet also plays a part in desensitization. Social media, movies, TV, all these things that have interfered with our ability to react and respond like human beings. So games aren't the only culprit, but they are a culprit. And for some people, the people who play a lot of video games, and especially a lot of very violent games, they are probably a major culprit. I believe that everything I've said here is rather self-evident. The people who lash out against it mostly do so because they want to defend their own recreational interests. I've learned the most offensive thing you can do in a modern society is criticize a person's entertainment choices, and I think that, maybe more than anything, proves that you should. Okay.
Well, are his preferences for recreational things?
I don't have any idea.
Would he consider them a waste of time, or would...
I don't have any idea.
Yeah. Someone accused him, he may not be so... Or he'd have the point, oh, well, these are wholesome. Well, what makes them wholesome? Some people wouldn't find them wholesome.
So, also, we've got the main thing that he said.
Yeah.
Which is, well, I'm trying to figure out where that was, but he's... No, it wasn't that one. Again, I try to keep all these together. Let's see here. Okay, here we go. The Federalist actually came back with an argument in 2023. The problem with Matt Walsh's argument about gaming. We need to end the myth that video games inspire real-world violence. There's no evidence to substantiate it, and spreading it bolsters leftist claims. While the radical left is clearly the biggest threat to gaming, they're not the only ones who could have a potentially negative impact on it. Last week, Daily Wire commentator Matt Walsh released a video where he stated that video games are at least partially responsible for desensitizing children to violence. It's not good for kids to spend an exorbitant amount of time consuming graphically violent content, Walsh said. Sure, I feel like spending an exorbitant amount of time doing any one thing is going to be an issue. But then he continued on, and this is where I think he made a mistake. Walsh said, even if the content is fictional and virtual and imaginary, it doesn't mean it has no influence because it's fictional. Among other things, it can have the effect of desensitizing the mind and soul to violence. While I have a deep respect for Walsh and I can completely understand where he's coming from, he's just wrong on this one. Now, granted, young children shouldn't be playing uber-violent video games. Duh, kindergartners shouldn't be kicking demon ass in Doom. Wait till they're a bit older. But what Walsh is doing is taking an argument that has been made 1,000 times before and repackaging it for the modern age. The idea that violent content, whether it's books or TV shows or movies or now video games, causes people to become violent if they themselves contain violence. Walsh certainly isn't the first to make this argument. Following the mass shooting at Sandy Hook in 2012, the media revealed the shooter was a loner who spent most of his time alone in his basement playing video games, including some first-person shooters, but reportedly his favorite game was Dance Dance Revolution. Not exactly an orgy of violence.
It was a fun game, though.
Still, the narrative started to spread that it was his obsession with violent video games that drove him to kill. The same was true of the Parkland High School shooter in 2018 and the Aurora movie theater shooter in 2012 and even back to Columbine in 99. On the Columbine note, while the shooters were reportedly fans of violent video games like Doom and Quake, they were also interested in firearms, which the media immediately picked up on. I don't think we're going to try and argue that an interest in real-life guns makes someone a killer, but somehow an interest in fake violence does? On top of that, violent incidents like the mass shootings supposedly connected to video games and are outliers in a society that is overall becoming less violent. FBI statistics show that since 1992, violent crime has been on the decline. Side note, Super Nintendo came out in 91 and was widely considered to be the console that really launched home gaming in the West. True. One of the best-selling games on the Super Nintendo? Mortal Kombat! The game so violent, so terrible, and so disgusting that a litany of congressional hearings were held to discuss it came out as crime was trending down. On top of data that shows a general downturn in violence, studies show that deliberately addressed this topic. Let me try that one again. On top of the data that shows a general downturn in violence, studies that deliberately address this topic show there's no connection between violent video games and violent behavior either. A 2019 study by Christopher Ferguson from Stetson University and C.K. John Wang from Nanyang Technological University found no long-term predictive relationship between aggressive video games and future aggression in youth. Fun fact, a similar study was done in 2015 that showed no connection between games with allegedly sexist content and real-life sexism. Mm. You hear that? All the adult games we play that may seem sexist do not equal real-life sexism.
Nope.
Because I don't try to act like, even though some of the characters in the games actually, in some of the games,
I mean,
they actually act pretty damn decent. Like, some
fantasy,
guys...
But...
Well, I mean, some of the guys, like, in Chasing Sunsets, because they've dealt so well with it, they actually do give you the kind of things you would need to say in a situation like that. And I don't mean, like, just some pickup line, but things that would actually affect it.
I'll tell you, the major thing that has really boosted the violence here recently has been the presidential administration, because they've told everyone, oh, well, you're disenfranchised because either you're a different color or you're identifying as something else, or this, and people hate you and all that. And they, you know, when he got on, which I knew it was horse shit to begin with, because I knew about him, you know, he ran for president twice before. One, he had to drop out because he got caught lying, saying he's top of his class, and he was at the bottom of his graduating class.
Hmm.
Two, he plagiarized a speech and said it was his, you know, took credit for it.
Right.
And he had to drop out again. He's been known for lying his whole life. But, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in someone that isn't going to be around here to reap the, you know, the fruits of his labor.
Reap what he's sown.
That. But yeah, he's been going by the old Democratic KKK playbook. Oh, you know, he did speak at one of the Grand Wizards.
I remember that.
A recruiter for the KKK.
And it's all been swept under the rug.
So, of course, his son's on crack. He was taking showers with his daughter, Wade.
Yeah, we've covered that. Yeah, we've covered all that.
We could go forever. The main thing is he spreads hate.
Yeah, but it's an administration behind him that's doing
that. Oh, well, there's also figureheads, but he wasn't exactly beaming unity.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's an argument that that's existed since the dawn of time from the left, that sexist content and art creates sexist people, and that's the crux here. I have zero doubt that Walsh means well, and he wants to see a reduction in violence. I empathize with him. I really do, but playing into fear-mongering surrounding video games is not the answer. I've made this point before, but it's not helpful to alienate a group of people like gamers who are sick and tired of the woke left in their spaces. Video games are a hugely popular hobby, and they're also the most, the biggest form of entertainment.
Well, when you've worked your ass off all day, you already got a workout in.
Yeah.
You're ready to sit down and play video games.
Yeah. And it makes zero sense to try and punish players for indulging in something that makes them happy, and has proven not to increase violence. Instead, we should counter these narratives often coming from the left by the way that video games should be sanitized in order to stave off disaster. That's what wokies do. Claim that bad things in video games perpetuate real-world harm. PETA, for instance, keeps trying to argue that kids playing Pokemon are going to engage in animal abuse or dogfighting. I think we can all agree that's nonsense. Kids can recognize that it's not real and separate the fact from fantasy. So let's extend that logic out to violence in games.
Also, give... parents need to explain things to them.
Right.
That you don't need to depend on the school system to explain what they want to explain, or you're going to have kids wanting their wieners cut off.
Right.
Yep.
Give kids age-appropriate games for sure, like I said. I wouldn't play Call of Duty with my first grader. But let's put to bed this idea that games like Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto are causing horrific acts of violence, because they're not. It's actively alienating a potential ally in the fight against the radical left, and it's based on emotion and not truth. So no, Matt Walsh, games do not fucking cause violence. He didn't say fucking, but I did. Now with that said,
Matt
who's
Walsh
up...
Matt Walsh didn't... He's very...
Not Matt Walsh, but this gentleman here. Now with that said, who's up for some Mortal Kombat? Okay. So there you go. I do like this Babylon Bee article.
Well, you just gotta think, too, how many shooters versus how many non-shooters in the video game world have there been? I mean, not video game shooters. Right. I'm talking about actual mass shooters or just murders in general.
Right.
There's no statistics for it. But I can tell you there are far more people that haven't shot people and played those video games. But yeah, I wouldn't. I have a real close friend. His son's, I think, just turned 15 today, the other day.
Right.
And he's not allowed to watch rated R movies.
Right, well.
Because
yeah.
I think he let him watch what? Wolverine, or what was it? The Apocalypse, where he's sent back in time to...
No, that's not that. That's,
It's not Apocalypse.
No, that's the Apocalypse one.
Days of Future
Days
Past.
Days of Future Past.
That one, I remember the intro scene, even for the fantasy version of it, I thought was, damn, that's a bit rough for even kids to see.
Right.
Because I can imagine...
Well, that was
humans.
Not a kid's... That story, I've read the story.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, it was fucking Kitty Pryde that actually went... Kitty Pryde was the original person that went in Days of Future Past. I've read Days of Future Past. Yeah. It's a really good read. Highly recommend those Chris Claremont books.
Oh,
they
yeah.
are great.
You gotta watch what comic books you read. Which, I mean...
Well, not in the...
If you're not easily brainwashed, it's not gonna matter anyway. But... I mean, if you're trying to avoid leftist propaganda, it's hard to escape. Sometimes you had to, not look at one. But I try not to give them a dollar if I can help it.
But anyway, let's see. Matt Walsh. Okay, so we know exactly... Well, the Babylon Bee knows exactly what happened. Matt Walsh blasts video games as childish, pointless drivel after son beats him in Mario Kart. Conservative personality Matt Walsh sparked a frenzy online this week when it was revealed that he only hates video games because his son beat him at Mario Kart. This is childless, pointless drivel, Walsh allegedly fumed as his son launched a blue shell at his cart. I will not live in a house where Mario doesn't instantly beat every other racer in the Mushroom Kingdom. Walsh, who called out the gaming industry this week for acting as a propaganda arm for the DEI movement, had previously claimed that he didn't play video games at all. Why would I spend time on something for kids, he said on an episode of the popular show. The Bible says to put away childish things, which obviously refers to video games, something that must have been a considerable temptation to the Corinthians, because I'm too busy commuting to work to drive imaginary carts in a fictitious world.
So
I don't need...
Otto's childish things, eh?
I don't need to pretend to drive because I drive cars every day. If you don't throw red shells at people in real life, then you're a coward. Walsh was forced to come clean after hackers leaked his Nintendo Switch gaming activity. Okay, so I like Mario. He's an adorable Italian plumber. Who doesn't like Mario? But I didn't give up Mario Kart because my kid beat me. I gave up because there's too many princess characters. Talk about an overrepresentation of females in kart racing. That's predominantly male-dominated sport, and I will not stand on this for this forced diversity. Don't get me started on Toad. Progressive gamers pounced on Walsh for his obvious bias in his commentary of the gaming industry. He only hates games because he sucks at Mario Kart. Another ex-user said, simply advised Walsh to get good, noob. At publishing time, Matt Walsh pre-ordered Princess Peach Showtime. So that's... The Babylon Bee has the answer for all this. But that's... That's what we've got going on. So we've got the left going absolutely fucking crazy with hundreds of thousands of dollars of your tax money to censor the games that you love in the name of combating extremism and misogyny and racism and LGBT transphobia shit, right? They're using your money to censor the video games that you love and to put all this extra shit. You're like, what the fuck's all this diversity shit? Why is, you know... It's because they want to fucking brainwash you. That's literally what that is. That's engineering somebody to... That's what it is. It's an engineering. Yeah. It's government engineering. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. The Department of Homeland Security is working on this.
Subconsciously.
And not just the Department of Homeland Security. Every freaking anti-terrorist group in the world is working on this.
I mean...
To censor your video games.
There's never been another time in America's history where... People that were are supposed to represent you are trying to destroy you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, go for their prerogative, which is you'll own nothing and like it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, no guns because those keep governments in check.
Yeah.
It's so many things.
Well,
and
go ahead.
I'd say... Like, the government is the least qualified to tell anyone about guns. Because if you've ever listened to the congressional hearings, most of the people opposed don't even know shit about guns.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't load one to save their life. It's stupid. It'd be like me representing why you shouldn't have My Little Pony. Fuck it. If you want a My Little Pony, you go get one. I don't know shit about them. But... I'm not going to fucking force my beliefs on everyone else. Now, Christianity, I do offer my position, but I don't force it because that's something everybody's got to choose for themselves.
Right, right, right.
But, yeah.
Okay, so also it's worth noting that, like, if you like your Grindhouse movies, you know, I did talk about that. Because people are talking about, in my Grindhouse group, that Tubi is starting to censor things. A lot of people were using Tubi for their Grindhouse movies. And, now Tubi is starting to censor things.
I remember
when
we were working at Walmart.
People are really upset.
We were watching Django in the break room. And they took the N-words out of all of it. Which was a very... I'm like, man, did the movie go off? No. They just bleeped out. Actually, they didn't put any sound at all. They took the sound of the N-word out.
Yep.
So, like,
they're starting to censor a lot of... they're censoring it a lot more than that, though. They're removing scenes.
Where they've shortened...
They've removed scenes and things.
They've been doing that for a long time.
So, but it's starting to get more noticeable now.
Yeah.
So, basically, what they're doing... What people are doing is, well, fuck it, I'm going back to buying my discs. Because a lot of these Grindhouse people, they just buy the fucking DVDs or whatever, Blu-rays, if they even have Blu-rays. Yeah. So, basically, you gotta go to the Grindhouse channel and get the watch the movies from him. Or download them or whatever. You know, you can download stuff from BitChute sometimes. So, that's how you're gonna have to do it. Because obviously they're starting to censor a lot more content and
censorship. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the whole TikTok thing now. They're wanting to take TikTok because Chinese propaganda, which
is true.
I do think they should sell to an American company or have American company have the final say of what goes.
Yeah.
But then you have, well, the government's already trying to censor what's allowed. Yeah. To fit their prerogative. So, I think Rumble has offered to buy TikTok because they promote free speech, but they aren't going to steal your data for, you know, taking over your government.
We have one final article from that park place. Former Bungie and Pokemon Company lawyer defends Sweet Baby Inc. says his job was to get rid of anti-woke gamers. former lawyer for Bungie and the Pokemon Company, as well as the producer on Detective Pikachu, Don McGowan, defended Sleep Baby Inc. and admitted his job was to get rid of anti-woke gamers. McGowan made his comments using the X handle Legal Minimum, but previously identified himself back in September 22, writing, "My real name is trivially easy to locate, but just so it's clear, I am Don McGowan. I spent 12 years as the chief legal officer of Pokemon, and am now the general counsel of Bungie." McGowan responded to a threat by Kotaku journalist Alyssa Mercante that claims that Sweet Baby Inc. as well as herself are being harassed. Of note, Mercante does not share that Sweet Baby Inc. employees Chris Kindred and Maya Kramer, as well as CEO Kim Belair, have launched multiple cancel campaigns against the Steam curator list, which we read, and its creator, Brazilian gamer Cabrutus Rambo. She also makes no mention of the racist actions of past Sweet Baby Inc. employees or past racist comments made by Kim Belair. Mercanti initially wrote, "If you aren't sure this is a harassment campaign, just take a look at the content. Look how many sock puppet accounts flock to comment on posts. Look at the language in those comments. Look at the images they're sharing, the way they're manipulating pictures of women." McGowan reacted to the thread with his own accusing gamers of being sexist and racist. He wrote, "Thread, 20 years in games, 17 in the C-suite, so I am well situated to say. These people blaming one consultancy for everything they don't like are again demonstrating they know nothing about the subject they purport to be discussing. They are sexist and racist." Next, he made the absurd claim that video game developers at large no longer want to make games for gamers. Not only did he make that claim, but he also revealed his entire career has been built around trying to get rid of gamers. He wrote, "And it never occurs to them that the reason nobody made games for them was because nobody wanted to make those kinds of games. Nobody wants your money because nobody wants you in their environment." Take it from someone whose most of whose job was figuring out ways to get rid of you. "Trust and safety departments exist to get assholes out of the gaming environment," he continued. "You end up creating them to get rid of assholes because adult humans don't want to spend their leisure time with assholes. You're a gamer gator? Fuck off, you goddamn child. Nobody wants your money. Go spend it on anime porn," he directed. Okay, guys. So, I want you to do that. Go to Jast USA and Manga Gamer and Kagura Games, who are all having a spring sale right now. All of them are having a spring sale. So, like this guy said, go spend it on anime porn. Anime porn welcomes you. Hentai is welcoming you with open arms. Are you a bigot? Are you a misogynist? Here's games for you! Here you go! Right here, all the erogate you could possibly ever want. There's sales all over the board for this kind of material. And if you use Steam, you'll find out that many of these games are also on sale, specifically because of the spring sale that Steam has. So you can get wonderful discounts on this anime porn that the gaming industry says that they'd rather have you spend your money on. And by the way, people that make anime porn games, we're going to continue to support you. A lot of developers out there making great anime porn games. And we, again, will continue to support you. Because obviously, you want what the gaming industry doesn't want. Or you're providing what the gaming industry wants us to buy. They say, "Grim, don't buy our games. Buy anime porn." Oh, well, it's one of those things. You don't have to just grab my arm. I was already with you. McGowan then took a shot at former World of Warcraft team leader Mark Kern via ex-user Rami Ismail. Ismail is a Muslim activist and co-founder of Lambeer that has produced the mobile game Ridiculous Fishing, Luftwausers, and Nuclear Throne. Ismail writes, "So the game Gamergate ex-dev grifter is back claiming shit about forced diversity leading to funding, and let me tell you, not even once in my life have I worked on with any title that had an easier time in getting funding because it was different, diverse, inclusive, or equitable." McGowan responded, "As always, Remy Ismail has nailed it." Next, he posted, "By the way, if you're fucking crying about the fact that I'm telling you to eat shit, think about why you're such a person that the producer of Detective Pikachu thinks you are human garbage and maybe work on being less shitty." He continued, "You complain about bubbles, but you're living in the biggest one. You dorks sit around self-reinforcing that you're somehow not human garbage. Get your moms to give you more allowance and buy a clue." I have to say, I'm almost impressed with the one person who quote tweeted the original tweet and also screenshotted it in case I blocked him, so he could have forever proof that he is a dork and no one intelligent agrees with him, he wrote. I mean, I still blocked him because dork, he added. Next, McGowan shared an interview he did with Aftermath where he explained what he did at both Bungie and the Pokemon Company as a way of giving his opinion more authority. After that, he wrapped up his thread writing, "What's the old rule about not showing tolerance to people who call themselves intolerant? That one. That's what you see in this thread," and my response is, "No, I'm not interested in debate. No, I don't care if you think I'm a bully. Get back in your fucking lockers. This thread is giving my block finger a good workout," he added. Finally, he concluded he doesn't want to hear the truth. Sure, dork. What you believe isn't true. What, people aren't allowed to disagree? Have at it, champ. I just don't care about your opinion, etc. What do you make of Don McGowan's comments? Well, I think he can fuck off. Man, these self-reports are getting better and better. I think the best part is the admission that trust and safety departments are there to alienate non-leftist gamers. I will follow McGowan's advice and will not buy any product he's associated with. I knew Detective Pikachu was subversive garbage, but now we have official confirmation. Don McGowan is the Antichrist.
I just never could get into any of that, which I was already well in my 20s when they came out, I think.
So once again, Don McGowan has told us all to go buy anime porn, and guess what? I'm telling you to do that. Please do that. You know what? Also, you don't have to buy just anime porn. There's also going to be great AVNs, always. You know, sales on AVNs. Get yourself a copy of Chasing Sunsets. You know, it's not finished, but it's a great story.
I mean, the story's the main thing you want to look for anyway.
Well, yeah, that's there too. But, you know, there's so many good stories out there. And you'll find
porn that has no substance.
Yeah, plenty. Well, there's plenty of stories that have no substance in the AVN scene too. But
plenty of woke movies that have no substance.
Yeah, that's true. But what I'm saying is, yeah, he's like, go buy anime porn. Well, good. Go buy it then, because I'm totally saying you can do that. That's why we have Grim Sentai Corner, where we will cover a lot.
It's up to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but they're saying basically they don't want you in this industry. No, you don't want us. Okay, fine. Then I'll buy a hell of a lot more anime. I mean, I already bought Koronu Redux, which we probably might break into next month.
I think indie games Koronu are going to be the next big thing anyway.
Yeah, they already are.
Yeah.
Koronu Redux is pretty dark. We're talking on the level of Maggot Bait's dark, so you can expect some crazy shit. And I'll be playing that. Even though it's censored, it's still going to be dark. And, of course, Nino Ikanawa. I want to bring that back in spring, but Maya's been playing it. And, of course, she loves the grim, dark game, so she's having fun with that one. And let's see what else there is. Oh, well, there's a couple things that are getting released. I know I bought Beat Blade Saraka, but I'm not going to be playing that here. Yes, that's an older game, but I just didn't have it. And I wanted to finally get it when I had a good sum of money and it was cheap. So I finally went down and bought it for... Yeah, I paid about $30 for two games, which is actually cheap if you think about games nowadays. Yeah. Now, there is a game I probably will pick up. It is AAA, but it looks like it might be pretty decent. It's the Alone in the Dark 2024. I haven't seen reviews for it, but I've looked at it so far, and it seems to be very true to the source material, so I'm looking forward to that. But other than that, I haven't seen...
Rise to Ronin is coming out.
That's going to come out, awesome. But they said that the frame rate isn't that great on it so far.
They fixed those. They patch them like computer games now.
Yeah, but people are still saying that was... I mean, people are still saying, oh, they're going to just play Ghost of Tsushima.
I've got that, too. That's why I'm excited about Ronin. It's so much like it. In gameplay, it looks like.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. But, yeah, so that's the advice I have for you guys. Fucking buy the damn anime porn because they literally fucking said go buy that shit. And they don't want us? Fine. We know what to get. The world of Eroge will embrace you, bigot and misogynist and sexist.
Any risque anime is way better than Pikachu. Fucking...
I mean, it's crazy. The Pokemon Company says they don't want you. They don't want... You know what's funny? There's a ridiculous amount of fucking trainer porn for the Pokemon community.
Trainer porn.
Trainer. The trainers. The females. Trainers. There's so many. Oh. There's ridiculous amounts of porn for it. It's like, oh, we don't want you in Pokemon. Well, you know how much anime porn there is in the fucking Pokemon community? Like, somebody should just email them and just say, here you go!
Would that be furry?
That would be... yes, that is. Because some people do want to fuck Vaporeon. Let's see. Clearing my mind of that.
That's just like, oh, I want to fuck a non-fictional character. All good, go.
Oh, we do have one more article that's a little different. This is a different topic, but I do want to mention it. Former Pokemon lawyer explains why Nintendo goes after so many fan games. No one likes suing fans. Former Pokemon lawyer, this is the same guy, revealed that the process behind Nintendo shutting down fan projects offering the useful reminder that no one likes suing fans. In an interview with Aftermath, Don McGowan, former chief legal, we talked about him, talked about his time working at Bungie, Microsoft Game Studios, and the aforementioned Pokemon Company. During the interview, McGowan was asked about the company's approach to C&D letters, specifically the process behind them and what is and isn't allowed legally. I would be sitting in my office minding my own business when someone from the company would send me a link to a news article! Boom! Stop announcing your fucking games. If you're making a fan game, shut the fuck up.
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. Don't say a fucking thing. Don't release trailers, because when you release trailers, then that gives somebody the opportunity to write a news article, and that news article gets forwarded to a lawyer, and then you get a cease and desist. During the interview, McGowan was asked about the company's approach to cease and desist letters, specifically the process behind them and what is and isn't allowed. We talked about that. A news article, or I'd stumble across it myself, he explains. I teach entertainment law at the University of Washington and say this to my students. The worst thing on earth is when your fan project gets pressed because now I know about you. Do you hear that, fan gamers? Now the worst thing is when your fan project gets pressed because now I know about you. Exposure is just one step towards getting your project shut down, though, as the legal professional continues. But that's not the end of the equation. You don't send a takedown right away. You wait to see if they get funded for a Kickstarter or similar. If they get funded, that's when you engage. Okay, so that makes sense. So as long as you're not getting funded, you're okay. But AM2R wasn't getting funded, and that got shut down. They weren't making any money off AM2R, did I remember? No one likes suing fans. The only reason why the guy that did Golden Axe got sued, is because he has a Patreon. When you go to Zivitor's page, ZVITOR.BR, when you go there, you will find that there is... The first thing you find when you click on his page is links to his pay sites. That's not good. Because, first of all, he doesn't own any of the material there.
Yeah. I just need to
say... Oh, yeah, that's so fine.
I'm listening.
Okay. Because he doesn't own any of the material there. And you're having people pay for something that you don't own. They said, there was a lot of discussion around the time of PAL World's launch. At the time, the Pokemon Company revealed it would investigate and take appropriate measures with any game that may infringe on the company's copyright infringement rights. But at the time of writing, the only time Nintendo's lawyers have had to step in is when it got a Pokemon mod. Around the same time, the developers said, we had absolutely no intention of infringing upon the intellectual property of other companies. McGowan, who left the company in 2020... also weighed in, revealing that the Pokemon-like survival game looks like the usual rip-off nonsense that I would see 1,000 times a year when he was working there. Wow. So, that's it, guys. That's what you have to do. If you're gonna make a fucking fan game, keep it to yourself. And, well, even if you do get press, don't charge money. You might want to ask, why does Mushroom Kingdom Fusion not have anybody going after it at all? They don't ask for any money. They've never asked for any money in the past fucking 10, 20, it's been going on for a long time.
I would say if you are wanting to make money in the independent one, do
your
the
own
fan
fucking
games
thing
for free.
Yeah.
Get in it. That's, it's almost like a resume, like, I like this, mm-hmm. but besides being a fan of the subject matter, it was a really well done game. I think I want to get this other one as an independent.
Well, you know, War Machine, you know, he's making this, War Machine's making this Castlevania 3 remake, which is going to come out at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And it's a big fucking game. It's a full remake of the third game. He actually had beta versions of this way back then. But now it's finally finished. It's complete. Everything's ready to go. And nobody's really going to say anything to him because guess what? He's not asking for money. He's like, if you don't like it, fuck off. They literally wrote a trailer and they said in the trailer, if you don't like it, fuck you. It was like, I mean, seriously. I mean, they made it for fun. It's a 16-bit remake of a game that was an 8-bit. 16, 32-bit, you know. But it looks good. I think it's going to be fun. And, yeah, guys, it's good that we're getting this kind of stuff. Same thing with, again, MKF. Not going, you know, obviously they're not working that much on MKF right now, but they've released enough updates for you to play over 200 stages. You know, there's a lot of fucking stages. You play as Samus now and all these other characters. I mean, it's great. They've got so much stuff done now. And Nintendo's not going to go after them because they're not charging money. Stop charging money for your fucking little fan games, people. Nintendo, the lawyer from Nintendo is straight up telling you, don't charge money. He's like, it doesn't automatically go to a C&D unless I find out you're charging money. That simple. Now, again, there are situations where even Konami had to get involved and pull down that Castlevania 1 remake, which wasn't asking for any money. But that's rare. Mostly they let the games go. But you can't be charging money. You gotta stop. You gotta get rid of your Patreons and all that other shit. Why do you think Capcom took down those Resident Evil games? Because they were charging. They were getting money.
Yeah.
They were doing Patreon. You can't do it. They're not gonna let you do it. And this is a fucking lawyer telling you right off. I know it's sad, but you're making it for fun, right? It's a fun project. It's a resume, like DP said here. There's nothing wrong with making these games, but you can't expect to make money from
them.
That's
how I get paid. It's not your proper work. People have seen what I've done in the past.
Right. All right. Yeah. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration. We'll see you guys next time, maybe with Empress, on the next Grim Articles show.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.